Welcome.
And welcome to this week's Mungle Show. I am Matt Mungle. Remember, everything we do, check out mungleshow.com as we talk about what we're watching on the big screen, the little screen, and everything in between. Joining me, as always, from thischicksflix.com, it is Susan Kamiyop Stevens.
Hi.
We're going to get into some cool stuff that we're watching, so a little bit of news that happened this week. And but before we do that, something I texted you about, and I kind of just did this not for selfish reasons, but because something I wanted to talk about on my end. I was like, well, I wonder if Susan is dealing with this too. But I thought about like pet peeves and things that like if you're watching TV or shows as a family or in a group, if there's something that people do or somebody in particular does that, I mean, it's not enough to fight over, but it kind of just drives you crazy. Those little pet peeves of watching shows and TV, and was wondering if you have any of those, or if you and Trevor or you and your family experience any of those, or what those are in your world.
Yeah. Well, my mom, her thing back in the day and probably even now was she would ask questions a lot during a show or a movie, to where I'd be like, okay, pause it. What's your question? And so she would ask a lot. That was her
thing. Like relevant questions or questions about like the person that was in it, was what they were in or who they are?
No. It was like, I mean, maybe some of those, but usually it's like, well, why is that happening? Well, why is she doing that? You know, that kind of thing. So I'd be like, okay, pause it. Like, I'll answer your question, but pause it, because then we're going to miss it. And then I also didn't like if she wanted to watch something. Like, a lot of times she'd be like, I want to watch this. She would fall asleep. Like, very quickly. She'd just quickly, like, fall asleep. And I'd be like, you're not watching, you're asleep. So I don't like, that is probably my other peeve. Like, one, I want to be able to, like, concentrate and like listen and watch what I'm watching. I don't mind pausing or you know, if there's quite like one of my best friends, Holly, and I, whenever we watch like The Bachelor or like even a movie or something, we'll be like, pause. It'll take us like hours to watch something because we're pausing and talking.
Right.
But at least we pause it. But like if we're going to sit around and we're going to watch something together, or even me and Trevor, if we're going to watch something together, I want us to like watch it and be focused. So I don't like it if someone falls asleep. And I also don't like it if someone's on their phone. Because if we're going to watch something together, now it's okay if we're doing something that's like a show, like a rewatch of Friends or something like that.
Sure.
That's no big deal. But if we're like watching a movie together, we have a rule that the phone goes away.
Nice. That's a good rule.
Together. Obviously, you know, since I text you, there's movies that I'm like texting through the whole thing. I don't care.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't do that if I was watching it with Trevor or as anyone else.
Right. That makes sense. Yeah, those are good ones. And I have that's one of my pet peeves too, is and I think it's a generational thing, because like you said, if we're watching Friends or watching something we watch forever, just have something on the background, I don't care. But I hate when we're watching something together. And I love Katie to death, our daughter, and I love watching stuff with her. She's very intellectual about that, but she is on her phone a lot. And so, like halfway through, something will happen. She'll be like, "Who's that?" Or what is? And it's if you've been paying attention, Milo, who's 13, he does that too. He'll be on his phone, we'll be watching something. He's like, and he'll ask something like, "Well, what are they going to do?" And it's like, if you would have been paying attention. So that, but the one that drives me the most crazy is my wife, Kimberly. And I even pick on her about this. We all do. And I understand it's almost a thing that she has to do. But especially when we're watching reality TV, like we're watching Big Brother. And when we're watching Big Brother, Survivor, shows like that, this is when it's very prominent. Like we're watching it together. We can't wait for it to come out. And we sit down and watch it. Well, she will always Google the spoilers of what happened before we watched it. She always wants to know exactly what's going to happen.
I would hate that.
And she won't tell us. She won't tell us what it is. She won't say anything.
But she tells you she's looking it up to spoil.
She's like, I already know what happens. And we're like, she's like, I don't like to just wait. I want to know what happens before I watch it. Which I understand. It's kind of maybe a surprise. She doesn't want any surprises. She wants to know what's going to happen and wants to watch it play out. But we're like, so Milo and I are like, you know, when you're having a conversation watching a reality show, you like, I wonder if this is going to happen. Oh, I bet this happens. But we know she knows what's going to happen. And so she's sitting there really quiet. So it like drives me crazy. She's always like, mm-hmm. and a lot of times we won't know until like halfway through. And she's like, oh, I already know what happens. Mm-hmm. We're like, so like, especially on finales of stuff, she always knows like a couple of episodes ahead, like what exactly has taken place. And it shouldn't bother me because she doesn't tell us. It's not like she spoils it for us.
Well, yeah.
But it's the fact that we're watching it together. We want to experience it together live. And it's like.
Right. Yeah. No, for sure. Trevor would not like that. I actually joke with Trevor, but we joke with each other. We'll be like, oh, well, I already looked it up. I already saw. I already know what happens on any show. Like, we'll right. with like, you can even do that with other, because we'll be behind on shows, but we try to not like look up the spoiler. So, yeah, that would. If it's a show we're watching together and Trevor somehow, like, it's one thing if he accidentally saw it, but if he, like, actively looked for the spoiler, I would be annoyed. So that is definitely valid.
Yeah, she'll go out there and, like, read the, like, she'll deep dive into the, you know, because, you know, there'll be posts where that's their whole point is to give you a synopsis of everything that took place in the show.
Oh, geez.
And she'll just go do a deep dive and read all of it so she knows. So and then I'm like, well, why do you want to even watch? She's like, well, I want to watch how it played out. I know how it ends, but I still want to see how it plays out and how we got there. And I was like, So I don't know. It just drives me crazy. So we kind of joke about it. I mean, like I said, it'd be different. It'd be worse if she was like, told us what was going to happen, you know?
Well, yeah.
But yeah. And my mom does the same thing that you were just talking about too. When I'm watching something with my mom, it's always, cause it's always like she's constantly has to have snacks the whole time, which I get.
Well,
she's constantly
going
into the kitchen to get them. And she's always like, don't pause it. Don't pause it. I'll be right back. Don't pause it.
Like,
if I don't pause it, you're not going to have any idea what's going on. And so it's.
Yes. My mom, she's like that too. But she goes into the kitchen. She starts washing the dishes. And I hate that. I'm like, Mom, first of all, it's loud. It's loud. I can hear the sink. And you cannot hear. You don't know. Because like the sink in my parents' house faces the TV.
Right.
She's like, I'm watching. I'm like, but you are not hearing that. Like, there's no way you hear what is happening. How are you doing this right now? And I hate it. I'm like, just sit down and let's focus.
Just focus. I know. God. So it's so great. So, yeah. And, you know, I think every family has those. And I'm sure there's things that I do. Because, you know, I'm very like, I get very aggravated when there's stuff going on and I'm watching a show.
Me too.
And somebody either asks me a question or, like I said, gets up and does something. I get aggravated. I get very frustrated and it's visceral. I can't hide it at all. So they're like, why are you getting mad? I'm like, because we're trying to watch this damn show.
Yeah, for real. That is valid. I think that's fair.
That's fun. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we talked a little bit about things going on in the news. I guess the person who's had the craziest couple of weeks is Mr. Jimmy Kimmel.
Mm-hmm.
He's gone through some stuff. And, you know, I told you last Thursday when we did the show last week that I had kind of gotten off social media because I was just doing this spiral and it was just toxic. And I was like, and so I haven't really been on social media for the whole week. I mean, I've gone out there because I've had to post stuff.
No, you posted stuff.
That's what I mean. I posted, but I haven't gotten on. I haven't done any like reels or scrolled through anything. I just go out there and just post and then answer any emails or, you know, DMs that have come in and that's it. I don't scroll. I don't read posts, hardly any at all. And I mean, I'll see yours or you know, fellow critics and stuff, but I did not know that Kimmel actually was reinstated, that his show was back. The last, when I got off social media, there was the whole thing with, you know, Disney and them were dropping him and Trump was bragging that he was behind it. But I guess now I know that there was a petition going around from celebrities to reinstate him. Is that what kind of motivated them to bring him back? What happened?
Well, I think it's a number of things. I think there was also a handful of, and Jimmy Kimmel said this in his opening monologue, people that even on the opposite end, like right-wing side, defended him.
Mm-hmm.
Candace Owens. I mean, Ted Cruz did in a way. I mean, it was a little selfishly, like, you know, he's like, it'll be bad for us, but it's a defend, so we'll take it. Candace Owens, I saw hers, and it was, you know, we don't align on a lot of things, but that what she said about that, I wholeheartedly agree with. And I respect what she said. I know that mm-hmm. that has to be hard. And I can't remember the list of all the conservatives that Kimmel said. There was a number of them that he listed in the opening monologue that defended him. And he said thank you to them. He was like, I know that that's really hard with this current administration to say that. So that was really nice. But I mean, yeah, a lot of celebrities, I think, basically said they wouldn't do Disney projects and things. I think it was like over 400 celebrities. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think there's a number of outcries, all the late night hosts, including sure. Leno, like he said, reached out to him. Did you watch his opening monologue?
No, I haven't. Yeah, I haven't watched
it. I mean, it just came on last night. You can, right. It's amazing. It's on YouTube.
I had to go
over
find it.
27 million views on YouTube, maybe more. His ratings spiked even with, some stations decided to preempt it, still boycotting him. But even with that, he still had a very high rating. So that's saying a lot. Like he had the highest ratings he's had since 2015.
Wow.
So, and that's with like a third of the television stations not even airing it. Mm-hmm. So anyways, I'm actually going to see if I can find where his views are at with that.
Yeah. While you're looking that up, I was one of those people that, I mean, I kind of gotten away from late night talk shows. I liked Kimmel. Okay. I mean, Fallon's probably my favorite. I know he's off the wall.
Really? Fallon's your favorite?
He's just silly. Just the stuff he comes up to do with, obviously I liked, you know, Jon Stewart. I like, Trevor Noah, guys like that. So even though I never watched Kimmel's show, I loved the only time I'd watch is with when he would get into it with Matt Damon. I thought that was always so amazing.
That's like my favorite thing. That is so I literally could watch him and Matt Damon go back and forth forever. Like that is one of my favorite things in this world is to watch that. Cause I don't know why that cracked me up. Kimmel is my favorite out of all the late night hosts.
So, oh, well, cool. Yeah. Yeah. So, like I said, I didn't, you know, even before all this took place, you know, I was neither, you know, either pro or con, either one. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it just really bothered me. Like obviously it did everybody else when I hate cancel culture. We talked about this decades ago when there was a huge movement of cancel culture with actors and celebrities, and it was just ridiculous. And so, you know, and it's like, so you're going to cancel somebody or because of what they said, because they said freedom something against somebody who was wanting to have, was always wanting free speech too. So it's like, where do you draw the line? You know, it's almost like we'll defend your right to speak as long as you're saying what we want to hear. That's what it becomes down to a lot of times. And so I just think that anytime, you know, on either side, canceling anybody because they're of what they're saying is, that's just so against who we are and what we are. So I was excited to see that, you know, people had rallied around and things had been changed and he was back. So
it definitely put me in a better spirit because I was in a down, obviously when we talked about it last week, I agreed with you and I said, it put me in, I you know, just in the field that we work in, mm-hmm. freedom of speech is so important. Sure. And to feel like, you know, within, of course, words have consequences. If you say something horrible, like, I don't know, like we should kill homeless people.
Right. Hate speech and just giving an opinion of facts and matters. That and hate speech are two totally different things. There's no room for hate speech of any kind when it's motivated to single out a group or minority or anything like that. That's totally different. And that's not what was going on. And everybody agreed that's not what was happening.
You did see what he said, right?
Originally? Got it.
Yeah, the original thing that got him suspended. Absolutely.
And I agreed with everybody else. Is like, that was so thin and there was no reason at all. I think it was just such a hot moment in time that everybody was so sensitive. And anyway, I'm glad it's worked out the way it has. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, no. You should watch his opening monologue. It's really easy to find on YouTube. Sure. It's not only, it's very tasteful. He's very respectful, especially, I mean, I won't go, I just, you know, to what he was accused of and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he's really kind to, like, I mean, I think he sends a really great message to the overall both sides kind of thing, where he's like, it's just, time for us to come together, essentially. Yeah. And we can all agree what happened 2 weeks ago, or however long it was horrible. And I mean, I don't feel like he's trying to say anything bad. And it was kind of inspiring and hopeful and heartbreaking. And anyways, it was a really nice, and it was funny. It was funny too. So
it's going to be funny. I mean, they always have to make it a little bit humorous, tongue in cheek. So that's good.
I cried too.
It concerned me too, because it happened at the same time that, you know, we're seeing so much of the defunding of NPR and public television and public radio. And that's just a scary slope to be in when you have government so concerned with editing and censorship. I mean, what is this, like North Korea? I mean, it's like we look at these other countries who nothing goes out over the news, or nobody can say anything unless it's approved and it's stamped by government. And man, that's a place we don't want to be. And I just feel like with everything else that's going on, that was just another just odd thing. That's like, man, we want to be careful where we're heading right now when it comes to media and free speech. And, you know, I don't want somebody knocking on my door because of something we say. I mean, you know, it's like, well, who would care what you would say on your podcast? But it might come to that.
I mean, I get scared. I'm honestly scared to say what we've already said.
Yeah. There's, it's like, you just,
me, but, you just, and I'm being careful.
Yeah. I know you have to really just walk on eggshells and just preface everything. And it's like, I don't know. It's just odd right now. But
just anyway, want world peace. That's all.
That's all, man. Come on.
That's all.
Come on. It's not that hard.
I mean, truly, I just want kindness. That's it. Like, just make America kind.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Make it kind. Because if we're kind, great will follow.
Yeah.
You know? So I think, you know, just because you're great doesn't make you kind. But I think kind is great.
Yes. But, agreed.
Yeah, what do we know? All right. Well, so that's kind of the, I think, the main things that have happened since we were together last. I don't think there were any big, was there any big award shows? No, we talked about the Emmys.
No.
There hasn't been anything else. I feel like,
which I will say, I don't know if you've seen this, but that Nate guy who hosts the Emmys. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah. You can say it. I mean, you're definitely in the majority. He is getting like ripped apart for his hosting job. Like, people did not like his hosting for the Emmys.
And I said that too. He was the worst host. If I didn't know Nate and
he's the worst host. Career, wow.
And because, but yeah, he's just. I mean, but it's the same way with other people that we've seen that are hosting is different. I think we talked about this last week. It's the difference between writing a stand-up routine and being in a rhythm in front of people. And doing an hour and a half where thing flows and it's funny. In segments like that was just not his jam. It just wasn't. Well, I'm still a huge fan. We're going to see him here in Dallas in a couple of weeks. I just love his comedy. I love what he writes and talks about and how he delivers. But yeah, that was just not his strength. It wasn't. And if I had no prerequisite of who he was, if I had no history, I'd be like, why is this guy hosting? This is horrible. But I gave him some grace because I am a fan.
Yeah. And I will say too, in the moment I was okay, because I was like, except for I did agree with you, like halfway through, I was kind of like, oh, I don't like, ultimately, I didn't like how his bit was taking away from the people who like earned the time to get to like say something. And you brought up the good point of the freaking presenters were getting more time. So, but like people have been saying how, and they brought up a good point. It's just like, you know, he didn't do the standard like opening like stand up at the beginning. He had this really bad sketch at the beginning that like I literally tuned out on. And then he just let the one joke of this, fundraising thing. That's all he had. And then it failed and he had nothing else. So when it was put in that perspective, I was like, oh yeah, he didn't really have any jokes. Like, he was just like, he just worked with that. And that was it. That's
so you've never watched any of his stand-up stuff? Mm-mm. I'm going to send you some things. I know you're probably like, oh, please don't.
Oh, God. But if you do, make sure it's short.
Oh, no, they're all short.
If you send me something that's 30 minutes long, I will watch it. Oh, no.
These are all like 2-3 minute clips tops.
Okay. I'll watch that.
But something interesting, too, that I noticed during his hosting, one thing Nate talks about, it's kind of self-deprecating, but it's so funny, is he says that he's just not like, he didn't study in school. He doesn't like to read. He's not a big reader. He none of that appeals to him. And so I think maybe the fact that he doesn't read and he has problems reading, trying to read the stuff that was on the teleprompter, I could tell that he was like, he would mispronounce names and he would like stumble over stuff. And I think he's just not used to just the fact that he's reading something and trying to tell it is, I think that was a struggle too. And like I said, I just felt bad for him all over the place. But
yeah, and I think that's the one thing I will say that whenever I was watching, and that might be why I didn't like rip him apart. Although I had some friends that texted me and like, who's this unfunny guy who's hosting the show? And I was like, I mean, I don't know. He felt likable. That was my one thing. Mm-hmm. Is that normally when they suck at hosting, I'm like, ugh, I rip him apart. But there was something endearing about him. And I actually felt like he might be a nice person. Like he seemed like he felt like kind enough. So I didn't want to rip on him. But if I'm being like, what is that? Unbiased, like just like being constructive. Like, yeah, realistically, that was one of the worst hosting jobs for the Emmys for sure.
Yeah. And like I said, I'm probably one of the biggest Nate fans out there. And I would agree. That it was one of the worst hostings.
So. Yeah, you pick were just like,
you gotta pick a lane, dude.
You do. Not happy. Okay, yeah. So Emmys will probably not be asking Nate back.
Yes, no, not at all. But you know what? We're still going to see him on Saturday Night Live. We'll still see him doing his stand-up tours. And so that's, I think that's where he shines. And
His career is fine. Obviously, he can afford to give $250,000 to the Boys and Girls Club. So he's fine. Yeah.
You know, and again, this is just a guy that was just a comic out of Nashville who just it was his endearing perspective and just how he talked about his life and in a funny way and just stuff we could all relate to, I think is what is like you said, even not knowing him, he came across as endearing, and I think he is, and I think that's always been one of his strong suits. But other than that, not much going on movie wise there was a big movie coming out this week, one battle after another. Unfortunately, you weren't able to attend the screening. I really want you to see this because we have to talk about it. And I want you to see it in either IMAX or 70 millimeter because there are some scenes in this film that are just unbelievable.
Well, and I already told Trevor, since he was feeling sick, that was the only reason he was not feeling well. And it was legit. He had like food poisoning, allergic reaction or something some that morning. Worst. So he had like rashes all over his body and his stomach felt sick. And he was like, I'm not going to. So I couldn't go to the screening with him. Like,
I get it.
Like, no, I just, 100%. You know what I mean? Like, we already had the babysitting taken care of, but I was like, I'm not just going to like be like, okay, bye. Like, feel better.
Hope you make it.
Yeah, you're cool, right? I'm just going to go. Like, it just, so I was like, I'm just going to come home with you and, you know, whatever. So, but I did tell him before he even said that, I said, well, we're going to Flicks Brew House to watch this one. That's our theater. So,
and they have,
definitely going to watch it.
They have a good screen. And,
I mean, they have
to see it on some crappy little screen.
No, it's not going to be little. It's going to be like the big screen. It's not going to be IMAX.
See, I wonder if you should see it in IMAX. We'll just see.
We don't have the time to go all the way to Dallas every time to go No, we're going to go to Flicks Brew House.
That's fine. But there is there's some things in here that reminded me of old school filmmaking. And just there's a chase scene at the end that is just phenomenal. So, yeah. Anyway, I'm anxious.
So you liked it still. You still say it's great.
Yeah. I said in my review, in hindsight, there are some, because it's 2 hours and 45 minutes. There are some things they could have cut out of there because in the moment when you're watching it, they're funny and they're cool and they're eccentric and it's great filmmaking. Afterwards, you're like, that had nothing to do. You could have taken those out and it would have not done anything to the plot. You didn't need them in there. So there was there's probably 40 minutes of filler stuff they could have taken out. But when you're watching it, you want to see them. Like you enjoy them in the moment. But afterwards, you're like, they didn't add anything to it other than in the moment enjoyment. So, but those are what they are. But yeah, otherwise, man, it's Sean Penn is just phenomenal. It's crazy.
Oh, that's the standout of the actors is Sean Penn?
Only because it's so different from what we usually get. I mean, Leo's great. Antonio's great. Not Antonio. What's his name? Javier. No, it is Antonio.
Antonio Banderas?
No, what's can't remember the guy's name. Anyway, so yeah, I mean, everybody in it is good.
Oh, you're thinking Benicio del
Javier,
Toro?
not yes, Benicio. Yeah, it's like, I
That
don't know,
guy.
that
Okay.
guy. Yeah,
Who's
Benicio
that
del
guy
Toro.
again? I don't know. Does he act?
Is he act?
Is
Yes,
he an
that
actor?
guy. It's late. You want to do these podcasts so late, and my brain is asleep, so
Yeah,
I
fair enough.
can't. Yes, it's not firing on all cylinders, and I don't have champagne. So if I had champagne and a little bit more sleep.
If Benicio del Toro heard this podcast, he would be
I know.
livid.
He's like, dude, really? You can't tell
Really?
me and Antonio and Javier
Oh,
apart?
so rude.
So rude. Those guys all look alike.
No,
I'm
I
just
do
kidding.
not agree with that statement. They look like totally different people.
They do. There has not been
Oh,
three totally different people. Like, if you lined them up, I could tell you who they were.
my God,
Exactly. No, because,
no.
you know, yeah. One is Zorro, and one is No Country for Old Men, and then one is Benicio. So
Yeah, there you go.
there you go. I was right all along. So no, it's really, really good. And then also, I want to talk a little bit about what's streaming. We're going to get into what we're watching, but they just released Sound of Music on digital, and I finally got to watch Fantastic Four because it is now on digital 4K Blu-ray. So those are all really two good options for digital buys if you want to finally see something at home. I was kind of sad that you didn't like Fantastic Four. I thought it was fun. Maybe because I watched it at home and it's been so far removed from press and I didn't have
That
to
might have
travel to watch
helped.
it and I wasn't expecting anything. I just went into it like, I just want to see something fun. And I just really enjoyed it.
It's funny that you use the word fun for it. That's just not an adjective I would use for that movie at
And I like the
all.
funny banter between the rock-looking guy and Johnny Torch. Their little back and
Funny?
forth banter. It was funny. It was funny
Oh.
dialogue, just the how,
Okay.
you know, because he like actually Johnny, the fact that he actually kind of has a crush on Silver Surfer, which is so outside the whole realm of the show, of the original. And I don't know. I just thought there was some really cute, interesting stuff in it, but
I mean, like I
you could feel
said,
the
Trevor
judgment.
liked it, so
You feel the
you're with him
judgment.
on that. And obviously, more people liked it because it had a decent score on Rotten Tomatoes.
For
But
critics and viewers, both high critics and viewers on Rotten Tomatoes, or just one?
Let me double check the viewer score, but I mean, some people were calling it like one of the best Marvel films, which I was like, y'all
Well,
are
that's a little
lying.
bit of a stretch, but.
It was ridiculous. I was like, that's what I went into, and I was like, oh, it's supposed to be one of the best Marvel films since like Endgame.
Those
Yeah,
people just
I
want
mean,
their quote on a box somewhere.
exactly.
That's all those people. I wouldn't go that.
No, both audience score and critic score is pretty high. 87 for critics, 91 for audience. I think that's Pedro. That's the love for Pedro.
Vanessa Kirby was great.
That's who was there. Like, if it wasn't for Vanessa Kirby, I don't think there was any point to watch that film. That she gives it her all. She does a fantastic job, no pun intended. But other than that, it is such a snooze. It takes itself way too seriously. I don't find any fun. The baby is a CGI. There was a great meme that said, I'm so glad the baby from Twilight was able to find work after this. And I was like, yes, that's
That's awesome.
exactly it. I mean, there's literally a point where I don't remember who's holding the baby, but it's like they have a scene where they're
The
holding the baby
rock
in their
guy.
lap.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's so CGI.
It's
Like, it's
almost
like this
floating
com
on him while he's carrying around.
yeah,
It's
it's
almost
like
floating.
floating. It's like a computer. It was so bad. So bad. I was like, this is cringe right now. And I mean, I just, it's funny. You use the words fun and funny describing this movie.
Dude,
And
laughed a couple times.
that is nowhere to be found when I was watching it. I was literally like, what is happening? Why are we taking this so seriously right now?
Yeah, and I even told Katie today when I was watching it, I said it's almost like a live action Incredibles. That's what it feels like,
But Incredibles is fun.
and funny.
Yeah, it has funny too. This is not.
I would rather watch Fantastic Four all day long than The Incredibles, though. I was not a fan.
What?
Elastigirl was kind of hot, but I was not a fan of The Incredibles.
I like the first one, but I don't know. I mean, I'm just getting very like sick of superhero movies. Like
I'm there with you on that.
I love them. You know, I love Superman.
Oh,
Superman
super. I watched that
was
again today too. So good.
so freaking good. That was great. And that's what didn't help Fantastic Four either, because I watched Superman and I want to say Fantastic Four screens like the next week.
Oh, yeah.
So that didn't help its case either.
No, that would not.
No, I don't know. I just wasn't a fan, which is a
No.
bummer because the cast had all, it had all the potential in the world, but no. But I'm
No.
glad you liked it.
I did. Thank you. I did. I
There you
enjoyed it.
go.
So if anybody else wants to try to enjoy it or not enjoy it, it is on digital now. So other than that, what we're watching all the Halloween baking stuff's coming out. High Potential, one of our favorite shows, season two just kicked off. You can watch that on Hulu, Disney Plus. It airs on
Nice.
Tuesdays. Still watching Jeopardy because you can watch that on Peacock and Disney Plus now. Still watching Big Brother. We're getting into the final stretch of that, so that's a lot of fun too. So that's our big top ones. And finishing up, we're going to finish up Wednesday here this week. So that's good. So what about you? What are you watching?
Many episodes left do you have a Wednesday? They're all out,
Like
right?
two. Yeah, I think I only have two left.
Well, today, as we're recording this, they released the first episode of Golden Bachelor with Mel Owens. I know you're not going to watch, you
No, we're going to
said.
watch because Kimberly loves The Golden Bachelor, so we'll watch it.
Oh, you are. Okay. Well, then we can talk about it next week. I will say this is the first like Bachelor anything in a long time that I will probably not watch tonight because I have no desire. I'll probably watch it tomorrow. I am gonna watch it. I'm just not excited. This is so weird. I don't have that, and I've literally been excited for even this last season of Paradise. I was more excited than this. But I'm going to watch it. I hope it's good, but it doesn't help that I'm a little like hesitant with the Golden in general. I am excited, as we talked about the Bachelorette. I am excited for her. That was a good build up. The Mel Owens thing is just kind of like, eh, we'll see how that goes, but I will watch and we can talk about it. Still watching Making the Team. I'm on season 14 and I'm really excited because I'm finally at the point where I had already met Victoria last season when she didn't make the team, but now I'm on the season where Victoria's trying out again, and all the people we've already seen on the Netflix one are, so it's like Victoria, Kelsey, Shondi, Caroline's in there, Kat. So a lot of people that we've already like met in the Netflix series are there now, so I'm really excited. Trevor and I started Peacemaker finally, the new season. We're like on just an episode and a half in. It's okay so far. Definitely not as strong as the first season just starting out, but I mean, we're chuckling. Definitely, we'll watch that. Gen V came out, so after we finish Peacemaker, we'll watch Gen V. Let that build up. Peacemaker, I think, has about like three more episodes coming out, but we'll get there. I think other than that, show wise, I'm still rewatching The Summer I Turned Pretty. That's what I'm gonna watch after this, is that I'm still on my rewatch of that because I'm so sad that I don't have a new episode of, like, I feel like the fact that they put out that there's going to be a movie is going to make it harder for me not to just keep rewatching until the movie, because I don't want to lose that momentum of being into the story. So I'm like, please let the movie come out this year. I'm hoping Jenny Han is just tricking us and it's already filmed and ready to go. But yeah, I feel like I'm forgetting something. But yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the main ones we've talked about when you and I are texting back and forth. That's kind of the biggies we always land on.
I mean, I watched two screeners. I got a screener link for this animated film called Stitchhead. That was cute. You wouldn't like it because you don't like animated, so meh for you. But it was cute. A good Halloween family film. And then I watched Shell, which is going to be on Paramount Plus. I don't know when that's going to come out, but very Death Becomes Her meets Substance. Not as good, but definitely worth watching streaming. It's a fun streaming watch.
Now, is it a good somebody who watched who didn't want to watch Substance because of the graphic nature of Substance? Is this one more tame?
Like miles more tame. Okay. It's like just not even close to as gory as that.
Okay, cool. So they get the Substance vibe without all the visceral in your face gore. That's good.
Yeah, it says it comes out October 3rd. So I'm assuming it comes out on Paramount Plus October 3rd. So I don't know. Nice. And it has a killer cast, like Elizabeth Moss, Kate Hudson, Elizabeth Berkley, more people, Dustin Milligan, a lot of people.
Nice, nice. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, in the last minute we have, I want to do touch base on Golden Bachelor because I think that going into it as low as we're going into, because in the last couple of seasons we went in so excited. I'm hoping that going in lower and maybe some, if they get good women in there, maybe it'll surprise us. Maybe it'll turn out to be one of the best ones yet. So
I will say his backlash was that he said he wanted someone less than 60 years old. Well, I think there's only one woman that's might be like 59 or something. The rest are way 60 and up. I'm not even sure. So whatever, it should be fine.
You know, he might learn that maybe, you know, the stereotype isn't there, that maybe he can connect with somebody a little bit older. So, so there you go. Maybe age is blind instead of love is blind.
There you go. Can't wait to talk about Love is Blind when that starts next week.
Oh yeah. I can't wait for that one. Oh, it's such a great season. All right. Well, cool. Well, thanks for hanging out with us. Remember everything that Susan does, check out thischicksflix.com. Follow her on the socials, all of her stuff there. Everything we do, it is mungleshow.com. And we'll be back next week to talk more about the big screen, little screen, everything in between right here on the show.